You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Matt Migaki, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians. We talk all about their lives and music while sharing killer craft beers. If you've ever wanted to sneak backstage and share a beer with one of your favorite musicians, well, Vox and Hops is the podcast for you. This week on the podcast, I dropped an amazing episode with Dom Grimal of The Last Felony, Ion Dissonance, and Cryptopsy. There is this episode and over 450 other ones to help you enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. So what are you waiting for? It's time to become a Vox and Hops head. Cheers!
Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Drinks with Johnny. Today, I am joined by the amazing guitar player and songwriter. He's in Breaking Benjamin, easy enough for me to say, and formerly of Adelita's Way, and now has his own solo project, his second record coming out May 3rd. Keith Wallen, how the hell are you doing today, man?
Dude, I'm doing great. Just back from interesting voyage on the high seas, shipwrecked. Just got back yesterday.
Oh, you just got back yesterday. Okay, that's why it took a couple weeks for us to get this pinned down. Okay, so you're out at shipwrecked. How was the scene, man? I've never been on the boat or, you know, talked to too many people about it. So what was it like?
Man, you'd love it. It's amazing. This is my third year doing it. I did it once with Breaking Ben. And last year I did it as a solo artist, and this year I was back as a solo artist with my full band. And man, it's so much fun. You know, you think about it a little bit, and you're like, man, you know, we're kind of trapped on a boat. We're all together. Like, there's nowhere to go. But man, everybody on that boat is just like amazing and so just kind and it's just a great community and a family. Really, it's just a really cool thing. And I see why people just go back again and again and again. And hopefully I can get back again. It's the best. And then you're in paradise. You're like in the Bahamas or something. So it's always nice to kind of get away from the cold weather for a bit.
Yeah, this time of year, you're getting down to where it's still warm. Is there, what's the you know, the attendance like? How many people are we talking about that are on this boat and for how long?
I mean, it's a few thousand for sure. I don't know the exact number, but yeah, there's it's a bunch. It's a full cruise for sure. Yeah, and you definitely can tell that whenever it's like lunch and dinner time, because there's a bunch of people there in the line. So it's like, all right, it's a full boat, baby.
Yeah, I've always been curious about that, because I've never been to, as I said before, I've never been to any of these cruises. You know, a lot of different bands are doing them now. You got the Shiprocked one, which is kind of more of a several different artists together, right, doing it. But then there's other ones where like Creed is going to be doing theirs as their reunion. And I've asked a few of the guys who've done it, and they said they love it, but I guess it's probably, you know, it's an opinion. It's each their own, I guess. Because, I mean, I got to ask the question, like, I know we're, you know, some of your fans are going to be watching and listening to this, so you're not going to bury them or anything. But like, what's it like with the fan interaction, being able to have your own personal time?
Yeah, that's really it. You know, the boat, I feel, for the most part, is Punisher free. It's pretty nice. I mean, everybody's there to hang out, to watch, you know, rock bands. And to you know, see on the boat and kind of interact. And I think that's kind of, you know, the name of the game. You kind of know what you're in for. But with my experience, everybody that I've come in contact has been absolutely amazing and sweet as could be, and so supportive and so encouraging. And, you know, I think at the end of the cruise, they, you know, all the fans and all the people there, they have these note cards to kind of fill out. And there's a question, it's like, who would you like to see back? And I think a lot of these amazing peeps fucking wrote my name down last year, and so I was able to come back, and it was great. So I really don't have any complaints. You know, it's interesting sometimes. You know, you'll be eating, you know, be like in mid bite, and it'll be like, hey Keith, you know, and it's like, oh hey,
that's what I gotta imagine about it. I'm like, and how long is it again? Is it just a week?
Yeah, this one was, I think, the longest one they've ever had, and it was 7 days. Usually it's like 4 days or something, 5 days. But this
7 days seems like a lot. Because, I mean, again, like I'm saying, it's like the first few times, yeah, no problem. But did you ever start to get worn down a little bit?
I think I was just worn down from just the lack of sleep. I don't think I'm ever worn down from fan interactions.
Right.
Yeah, I was just, you know, they do these announcements like in the morning, like the crack of 8 a.m. And I'm just like, God, shut up, you know. So then I have a hard time falling back to sleep. But other than that, man.
Oh, yeah, because it's like a normal. So, yeah, I mean, you've got a normal crew on there that's got to make their announcements. You got a captain letting everybody know what's going on. And you've probably, you know, on tour, you get off stage and you probably don't go to bed till, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. But out there, you can't do that if you're getting woken up that early.
Yeah, it's interesting for sure, but you know, you just kind of push through. And I mean, like I said, it was just amazing, and it was a thrill to be there. And I try not to complain about, you know, being on a cruise ship playing rock and roll. I really try not to. So
yeah,
no complaints.
There's nothing.
Me.
Yeah, did you get in the pool? There's a pool on that cruise ship, right?
There is a pool. I didn't get in it, though. I did get in the ocean. We did stop in the Bahamas at Bimini, I think that's how you say it. And yeah, got in the ocean, had a nice coconut pina colada.
Ooh.
Which was nice. Yeah.
Man, all right. Well, there was a couple things in that story that I want to go a little deeper on. One of them is, is it out there now, the term Punisher? Is that like, because I remember many years ago, the first time I heard it, we were discussing and calling, you know, certain people backstage who find their way back there Punishers. Is that widely known to the people who aren't in bands now?
Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe we just debuted it.
I hope so. I think our mutual friend Dione might have been the one that told me about the term, or didn't tell me about it, but told me the term Punisher.
Oh yeah. Dione's very familiar with the Punishers. It's a rare breed. You know, I don't think it's common, but every once in a while there is the person that catches you outside of the bus, that, you know, they want you to autograph something, and you know that it's not for their own personal collection. They're doing something nefarious, and it's like they want to sell it on eBay or something. Now that is a Punisher. Right. That it's like, you're not a real fan. You're not, you're just here for your own financial gain. And quite frankly, you can fuck off.
Damn right. Not only that, I mean, for me though, there is that other side of Punishers too, where maybe it's not even a fan. It's a, you know, someone, some random person from a label or some random radio person or some random, like maybe not like the main guys you see all the time, but like the guys are just like, find their way in your dressing room at the end of the show and then latch on to you and just like start talking your ear off when you got a whole group around and you're trying just to like mingle and they're just like on you the 100%. Whole time.
Oh yeah, 100%. And then no one really knows them. They
no.
just kind of
you just keep asking around up. Who this guy come with you, this guy come with you, this guy yeah. come with you. No yeah. one wants to claim him.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they're like doing magic. You're like, all right, I gotta go.
Actually, then they give me back a little bit of entertainment. I'm okay with that. If they're good at the magic.
Yeah, exactly.
But speaking of Dione, though, Dione Sepulveda, good friend of ours, good friend of yours. You guys started working with him and Breaking Benjamin like, I don't know, 3 years ago now, was it? How long ago was that, you guys?
Yeah, it's been about then. Yeah. It's been awesome, man. You know, and he has just, you know, the best things to say about you guys. And you know, we talked about all the lies. Tour that we did, you know, together. It's funny. I was thinking about this coming into this podcast. I was like, man, I've never met you in person. Like we did a whole freaking tour
and I never. Yeah, I met a couple of you guys in passing, like, but we were.
Yeah,
man, everything was. What tour was that? What year was that? That was towards the end of our.
That cycle, was 20. I want to say that was 2018.
Yeah, that was towards the end of our cycle. We were, you know, Matt was dealing with some shit, and then we had to like cancel some stuff out. Not too long after that, so right. it was a little tough for us. And as you know, everyone's in work mode, you know, out there for 100%. A lot of it. So, but
100%.
We'll get out there again.
And I, you know, it's definitely, you know, there's no one to blame. I mean, I am kind of myself just whenever I'm on tour, like I'm pretty low key, you know, I'm always just kind of like, I feel like I'm awkward sometimes when I'm meeting other people and band dudes. And I'm just kind of like, you know what, it's best if I just kind of avoid, and I'm kind of the quiet one. But if like the time's right, then it's like, okay, yeah, but I don't want to. I'm just really great at making things awkward, so I try to avoid.
Well, I mean, that's a good point though, like not being able to run into each other, didn't actually formally meet there. But did you meet Dione on that tour? Was that when you guys first met him?
I think so. Yeah, I met him during that tour, and then after the tour, we hung out in LA a few times. I've kind of split my time from living in Tennessee, and I had a place I was renting out in LA for a bit, and we got together a couple times, but yeah, that was the first time, man. And it was cool. God, I can't believe that's been that long ago. That was what, 6 years ago, 5 years ago?
It's already
wild, man.
Yeah. It's crazy. So listeners at home, if I didn't already say it, Dione Sepulveda was Avenged Sevenfold's tour manager for a lot of years. Very good friend, been through a lot with that dude. And he's also, for those who followed the show since the beginning, he was working with us here at the show for a little while. And then he got too big and started, managing, Breaking Benjamin and some other guys. But, I did talk to Dione today. He said, hello.
Oh, great. Awesome.
He also wanted, I asked him if there's anything specific that he would like me to bring up. And he mentioned a few things. One of them that I found, he was ambiguous about it. He just said, ask him.
God.
He said, ask him about having drinks with Danny Warsnop of Asking Alexandria, another good friend, another good friend of the show who's been on just a few months ago. Got to see him out in, what was it, the Bourbon Festival out there in Kentucky. We were on it. So got to see him there. But Dione said something about like, how did you fare with drinking, or how did you find drinking with Danny Warsnop?
Gosh, what an interesting question. thank you, Dione, for bringing that out. Yeah, so this was the first time I'd met Danny. You know, we played some festivals and stuff, but just, you know, I met all the other guys, but I'd never gotten a chance to meet Danny. And Man, first off, the guy is just nice as could be, and just awesome. Like, just positivity and just a character, man. And I was just like, man, this guy's awesome. Like, I'm like, this is cool. And so we all had dinner. It was me, Danny, Mel from TKO, and myself and Jerome, my manager. And we just started the night, kind of had a nice dinner, and then I remember while we were eating, and a little bit after eating, all these shots of Rumpelmints showed up. Rumpelmints. And I'm just like, what is this? And they were from Danny, and he was just like, oh man, you know, this is what I'm drinking. Let's do it. It's Christmas time. I'm like, okay, cool. So we started drinking these Rumpelmints shots, and you know, I'd had it before, and it's just real, you know, the name is what it basically is. It's very minty and just kind of Christmassy. It's what they were saying. So I was like, all right. And that just kind of led to just, you know, more drinks and more Rumpelmints. And then we moved on to the Red Door, and we were drinking there, and it was just a mistake. Let's just say it was a mistake. And I'm not a big drinker at all by any means. But every once in a while, you know, I'll have some, but in my advanced age, I find that the hangovers that I have are just fucking unforgiving. I'm the guy that, like, when I have a hangover, it's like, I can't even move. I'm just in bed. There's nothing I can do. And then I just have to just drink water and just eventually eat. Like, by the time the sun sets down again the next day is when I'm finally first eating. But, and then I just have these like crazy anxiety things. Every stupid thing I've ever done in my life just cycles in my brain. It's fucking awful. So I don't drink too much, but this night I was like, man, fuck it, man. We're in Nashville. Hey, let's have a good time. We're at the Red Door. I'm shooting, you know, I was there to shoot some videos, and I had just gotten done shooting two of the videos for my new album. And I was just like, cool, my work's done. You know, let's just blow off some steam, and it was a good time. But yeah, I definitely paid for it the next day for sure. And honestly, until probably the other night at the Super Bowl, for the Super Bowl, I hadn't drank since. So.
And how long ago was that?
That was in December, like December 8th.
Okay.
So I made it to 2 full months without drinking, and it was better though, because you know, I was able to kind of nurse my voice a little bit. I feel like whenever I'm drinking, it kind of shreds my voice a little bit. So
yeah,
it was a good excuse to not drink.
Yeah. I mean, on the road, do you refrain from drinking too for that reason, for your voice? I know a lot of singers do that.
I did this last tour with Breaking Benjamin, cause you know, we did this acoustic tour, and I was slated to open up as a solo artist. So it was, you know, and then we have a VIP sound check thing. So really, it's like 3 shows a day for me. And so I was like, man, I can't drink. I got to make sure that I can, you know, just last this whole tour. And then, you know, I was looking forward for, you know, Shiprocked and everything for my solo performances. You know, I just really wanted to have it, and really just, I knew that it was going to be some big shows after the tour. So I really wanted to make sure I had it. So, but yeah, usually I'll drink a little bit, but not too much. I keep it pretty tame.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you on the hangovers, man. There is a few remedies out there and things you can drink before you start drinking that'll help those and all those things. I don't want to say all of them right now because I've used them all, but they're not sponsoring my show, so fuck them until they do.
You're right. Good call. Hold out, man.
But I'll text you later and tell you a couple ones that I found that would help. Nothing really gets rid of the hangover, especially if you have, you know, a night with Danny Warsnop and some whatever that was, Rumpelmints. But I mean, definitely. How many days are you hungover though these days? Because I know it's like that first day. I laying in bed all day, wait until dinner time to first feel that you have an appetite. But then, you know, it's still like a couple days after that sometimes.
Yeah, I found the brunt of it is that next day, and then by the day after that, you know, I'm okay, probably a little tired. But You know, I'm a big fan of all those, you know, sports kind of, you know, Pedialyte and all that kind of stuff. Like, oh, yeah. I don't have to be hungover to drink that. I drink it all the time because I'm just like, I just like the taste of it and makes me feel good and hydrated. So, yeah, so I'm always drinking that shit. So I'm sure that kind of aids and kind of getting me back by day two.
Oh, dude, the late, great Vinnie Paul was the one that turned me on to Pedialyte. Me and Jimmy, the Rev Sullivan, was years ago when we first started partying with him a couple of times. He was like, oh, dude, next day, Pedialyte's all I do. And we started doing it too. And then it was, you know, nowadays, though, they do have the liquid IVs. I will, that one probably will never sponsor me because they're too fucking big. But, you know, they're out there and definitely use that on the pretty regularly on the road, even without drinking, just because you got to stay hydrated up there, right?
Dude, for sure. For sure. Absolutely. And you're supposed to, you know, I went through this kind of health kick this fall, and I was doing this keto diet, and I was like running and I was lifting weights, and there's this doctor I follow on Instagram. I can't remember his last name. It's a really long name, but he's always just kind of like, you know, you should start your day with electrolytes first thing in the morning and just getting out in the sun and letting the sun hit you and just kind of start your day that way. And I was like, man, that's pretty cool. And so I've been trying to do that. So yeah, the electrolytes, man, it really helps, even if you're, you know, hungover or not, I think.
Yeah, dude. So another, going back to actually real quick, while we're talking about drinking, we'll move on from that, but it is, you know, it's not a drink centered show by any stretch of the terms, but we talk about it a little bit here. Sure. What's your drink of choice though, when you are going to just relax and have a cocktail after a show or at home, whatever the case may be?
Bowie, Dylan, Marley. You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone Magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever you're listening to this podcast, make sure you're subscribed and leave us a 5-star review. If you want to listen to this show ad-free, head over to drinkswithjohnny.com and become a premium member. You'll get to enjoy unreleased clips from your favorite guests, discounts on merchandise in our shop, and access to our private Discord server where you can chat one-on-one with Johnny Christ himself.
Awesome!
So stay tuned, stay thirsty, and stay filthy as fuck.
Gosh, you know, for the last few years, I've been really just kind of a whiskey/bourbon guy. Yeah, Basil Hayden, some Blanton's, Michter's, yeah, some that kind of stuff. But I mean, you know, I also like a good mule.
Okay.
Kind of G&T, gin and tonic, whenever I'm at the beach with my family, we wear them out, so. Nice, refreshing, beachy drink.
Nice. Yeah, man. Those are some good bourbons in there. Some good stuff. So, and gin and tonic, nothing wrong with that. Age old classic, man. That's nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's get back to your new record that's coming out May 3rd. You got a few singles out right now. What is it? Infinity Now is the name of the record coming out. This is your sophomore record, meaning your second record as a solo artist. And you worked with a few different producers on this one. A couple guys that did Kevin Thrasher, did Jelly Roll, Dan, and a couple other guys who have, you know, worked with a lot of great names. What was it like bringing in those producers on this project?
Man, it was amazing. You know, I knew going into this album that I wanted to absolutely put my best foot forward and try to get in the room with just the most talented people that I could, you know. And I was fortunate enough to kind of get the opportunity to kind of do some like kind of back-to-back writing while I was out there in Los Angeles and also in Nashville a little bit later. And, you know, really it was the first, you know, goal of business was to basically figure out who's going to produce this album. So they set me up with a bunch of different producers/writers and I mean, me and Kevin, we were able to just come in and get one song in one day. And then the next day we got another whole song in another day. So a song a day, I was like, man, that's pretty, it's hard to do sometimes, you know. Oh, yeah. You got to just be firing on all cylinders creatively. And, you know, I kind of tried this thing where I wanted to come into these writing sessions with just a song title and just to see what would formulate it. Cause I feel like if you have the song title, you already pretty much kind of have an idea of what the concept would be and could be. And it just kind of frees you up a little bit to not just, you know, because there's so much time in a writing session that you, I mean, there's so little time rather in a writing session. You're like, you show up, you meet somebody for the first time. You're like, well, you know, nice to meet you. Let's write the most incredible creative song we've ever done in our lives. And it's just hard to do that. So.
No, not setting the bar high at all on that.
Yeah, no. But, you know, I go into it thinking that, you know, because it's hard to get in the room with some of these people and you don't want to, you don't want the opportunity to be squandered, you know. And so, yeah, I felt like coming in with a song title kind of like took a little bit of the edge off and it gave us a little bit of a head start. So that really helped. But, yeah, I was able to get in with a bunch of people and a similar kind of thing, you know, some people worked, some people didn't work, and that just happens, you know. Sometimes right. You get in, you're just like, man, I just can't think of anything. And, you know, the other person, you're both kind of just spinning the wheel in the mud a little bit, and that happens.
Oh yeah.
But man, I was so just grateful to all these people that gave me the time and lent their tremendous talents to my project and to my album. And I'm just forever grateful to all of them. So hopefully the next time around, I can get in with them again and we can try to come up with some more stuff. So yeah, man, super excited.
Awesome, man. Yeah. I do find that interesting. You went in with the song title as kind of a concept for it. Now usually you'll have your working titles, or at least the way that we work, that kind of follow that concept, but then once the lyrics, once they come to fruition, the song changes, right? The song title at least changes.
Sure.
Did any of that happen, or did you stick to your guns on those days and be like, that's the name of the song and we're going to leave it that way?
Yeah. Sometimes things would kind of, you know, kind of formulate after the fact, you know. It's like you have a start off point, and it would kind of morph into something else. But there's a few of them where the title stuck, and we were able to kind of use that title to kind of work retroactively and reverse engineer a whole song out of that. So, but yeah, a little bit of both, I would say. You know, one thing that I really thought about was, and you might find this interesting, but the album as a whole conceptually is about an ayahuasca trip that I had.
Oh, you went out and did the ayahuasca. When did you do this?
I did. So I did it a while ago. I did it back in 2015.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, it was a journey. It was a journey both inward and outward and every place you can imagine, spiritually, emotionally. I mean, you know, and I'm not a big drug guy. You know, I've never done acid or, you know, I've done a little bit of shrooms or whatever, but, you know, nothing too crazy. And, but I was really just curious about this and had an opportunity to partake. And, I jumped at the chance, and all of these songs on my new album, they all have this kind of, I don't know, inspiration in relation to that. You know, I really felt like, and it wasn't something that I intentionally went into writing about. It kind of, I just looked at it kind of at the end and was like, wow, this all ties back to all these things that I saw and experienced during this trip, you know? Mm. And, so yeah, I just kind of went with it. It all made sense and it all just kind of, I don't know, just flowed. So.
That's fucking cool though. No, I do find that interesting. You're right. I will find that. 2015 ayahuasca trip influences a record that comes out in 2024 is pretty interesting, right? Let alone, I've never done the ayahuasca trips. I've heard of several friends. I want to at some point, just a matter of getting the time and right play, yeah. right frame of mind for it. And just hasn't aligned for me yet. Again, I'll emphasize the yet on it. But I understand it's quite a bit of a kind of like getting 10 years of therapy in a day or two.
Yeah, that's what kind of I'd heard going into it. You know, I was just super, super curious. I mean, you know, when you hear about it in the you know, the Amazon, you know, for those who aren't familiar with it, it's basically a tea that is, you know, it's mixed and blended together with, you know, the leaf of something and a root of something else. And it's able to kind of create DMT, which is this natural molecule that I guess your body releases whenever you're born and whenever you pass away. Mm-hmm. And this kind of harnesses this for a little bit, and you're able to kind of experience this thing in real time. And, you know, they call it medicine down there. So, you know, it is very therapeutic, I think, for a lot of people. So people make that journey down to South America to go through this ceremony. And for me, though, it was just a friend of a friend brought some, and it was a shaman. She brought it to LA, and we just sat in a living room Indian style and just tripped for 9 hours in a wow. house.
You just so, sat in one room and tripped for 9 hours?
Yeah, all of us. And you know, you're not supposed to interact with the other people at all. It's just like your journey is your own. And you know, you try to, you know, everybody had like a pot in case they were going to get ill. You know, that's part of it.
Is throwing up. Yeah.
Yeah. The purge or whatever, you know, you're supposed to help, you know, exercise the trauma that you may or may not have gone through, you know, so.
And did you puke?
Oh, I did.
Yeah, okay.
I did, but I didn't have a pot. I eventually, I was like, you know, I was just like, man, I don't feel good. So I like stood up, you know, you're not supposed to stand up. Apparently I stood up and just like hobbled to the bathroom and, you know, and while I'm standing there, I'm kind of like, I look back and I look at everybody else sitting there, you know, I was like, you know, psychedelic and trippy or not, I'm fucked up. there's definitely something, but yeah, whatever. So I did my business or whatever, and there was like this candle in the bathroom flickering, and I was just like, it brought me back. I was like, oh, this is so beautiful. And but I mean, I saw all kinds of stuff, man. I saw like a wolf's face, you know, the very first thing I saw. You know, I take the tea and I'm just like, well, here we go. You know, here it's inside of me now. So
yeah, there's no turning back.
And yeah, so I thought, how's this going to kick off? You know, and, you know, my wife was there. She was doing it as well. And, you know, you're not supposed to interact, but I see her like about 5 minutes after I take the shot or whatever. It's just a little, it looks like Jägermeister. It's like black.
Okay.
And I looked at her and she's just like upset and bawling into a pot. And I was just like, holy shit.
Fuck, that's like, heavy, oh heavy right there. Just watching someone you love like that go through that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I'm like, man, just, you know, this is going to be wild. But I just kind of tried to keep calm. And the first thing I saw was just like this big yellow eyeball, like right in my face. And it just slowly just started to like move away from my face, and it was like just a wolf's face just like looking at me. And that was the first thing I saw, and I'm like, where is this coming from? I don't know what this is, you know, why is this? So I have a song
The
called
Wolf.
The Wolf.
Yeah, on my album. Yeah. On the record, yeah.
Which was great because, you know, I got with these a couple writers, and these guys had this idea. And you know, when I first heard like the beginning of this idea, and I'm just like, man, this is incredible. This is just what I saw. And you know, so we really, you know, dove in and finished it. And I love how that song turned out. I think that's going to be the next kind of song that comes out here in about a month. But but that was one. I mean, there was another one that I have called Infinity, which is kind of like
track. The opening track, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like the title track ish, you know. And it's such a cosmic thing that is what I took away from the trip. You know, I saw all these things, but you know, it really puts it into perspective how connected I think that we all are, you know, as humans and life forms. And And there's just so much stuff happening that we don't even know. And you know, not to get out there for a second, but it really was just kind of amazing. And I remember feeling just incredibly grateful to have decided to do it. And so, yeah. And there's a bunch more stuff that I saw that kind of relates to different songs. But yeah, that was the first thing, was the wolf.
That's so interesting. I'll get to that in a second, because there's another person that we have a mutual friendship with that kind of revolves around that wolf thing there. But I got to ask, when you say everybody that was there, your wife was there, who else was, how many people you got in this room?
There was probably about five people. It was really just her and some of her friends and me and the shaman. There was one point where, you know, this is like in the middle of this is like kind of, you know, 3 or 4 hours in. And I remember just, you know, kind of sitting there, and the shaman is, she's talking, she's, you know, chanting and singing stuff and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I had my eyes closed. And I remember it sounded like she was like way the fuck over here. And I like open my eyes and I like look over there, and she's still just like right in front of me. And I'm just like, oh man.
Wow.
I was like, yeah.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob Podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Freights from The Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective, the only podcast you crank up to 11.